Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Maximus National Employment Network payments call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Sean Walcott, EN Payment Manager. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome, and thank you for attending the All EN Payments call today, Tuesday, July 25th, 2017. I'm Sean Walcott, EN Payments Manager and host of the call. Joining me in our McLean office is Deborah Tennessee, Ticket Program Manager. And on the line, on behalf of the Social Security Administration, we have Katie Streibinger, Renee Clark, Kara Kaplan, Natalie Sendeldorfer, and Shauna Dixon. Thank you all for joining the call. The purpose of today's presentation is to convey information by providing insight into the payments process as it associates with the following agenda topics, announcements, the ePay status update, requirements for assigning a ticket with use of the ticket portal, payment requests, effect of ticket unassignments on EN payments, split payment, terminated ENs, and rules that apply to EN payments when an EN TPA is terminated. And then we'll end with the ticket program available resources. You can check the status of ePay by viewing the announcement screen in the ticket portal. The portal will display the announcement that ePay has started and a message when we complete processing an ePay file. On July 3, 2017, the Social Security Administration released a GovDelivery announcement informing of the transition from all current EN Blanket Purchase Agreements, or BPAs, to the Ticket Program Agreements known as TPA. Included in the announcement was a summary advising of the differences between the existing BPA and the TPA, along with instructions for accepting of and approving the new TPA. To continue operating as an EN, each EN signatory authority must review, sign, and email the new TPA, along with the revised terms and conditions. ENs will not be required to submit a new EN application or reapply for suitability clearance. ENs need only sign and submit necessary documents to SSA by September 1st, 2017. The next steps, if you agree to the terms, are to sign page 4 of the new TPA and email it to enservice@ssa.gov. If required, update your EN contact information and/or directory contact information. Please email updates along with your signed TPA to enservice@ssa.gov. Include your EN name and DUNS number when emailing your signature page and contact updates. ENs need only sign and submit the necessary documents to SSA by the deadline date of September 1, 2017. A training session was held on July 20th via teleconference, which was conducted by TPM and SSA. The premise of the training was to provide an opportunity to the ENs with an overview of specific changes to the RFA, TPA, and new terminologies used in the agreement. The training sessions included a Q&A after each session to make changes easier to grasp. Our current ePay file processing ended on July 10, 2017. The total claims paid was $27,840. Total SSNs paid was $8,075. And the total amount was a little over $18 million. As a reminder, you may submit your payment request through the ticket portal instead of waiting for ePay process to run. Additionally, please ensure that your EN payment contact information is current. We email the EN payment contact for payment outreach messages and confirmation of possible split payments. When submitting information to ENST about payments, please annotate your EN contact information for payments. To add a payment contact, please send a request to enservice@ssa.gov and specify the name of the person and indicate the title you want them to have. All payment contacts must have completed suitability. Recently, we have received quite a few inquiries regarding the requirements of assigning a ticket by use of the ticket portal. In this segment of the presentation, we will provide clarification of this requirement. Starting September 1st, it will be mandatory to submit ticket assignments via the ticket portal. This requirement is part of the new ticket program agreement, also known as TPA. This will enable ENs to check the status of ticket assignments, as the information will appear in real time in the ticket portal. All employees or EN employees must obtain security clearance and complete ticket portal training before being allowed access to the ticket portal. We'll now proceed to the next portion of the presentation, payment requests, rules associated with mandatory requirement to submit payment requests via the ticket portal. Based on the requirements of the new TPA, it is mandatory for ENs to submit payment requests via the ticket portal. Manual requests will be denied as of September 1st, 2017. Payment requests are not submitted via the ticket portal will be rejected, with the exception of terminated ENs and those under unusual circumstances. ENs submitting payment requests via the ticket portal must ensure they are submitting evidentiary payment requests only. ENs must submit evidence of earnings documentation if Social Security does not have earnings evidence posted in its systems, and should submit primary evidence of earnings via the portal fax using the required fax cover sheet generated in the ticket portal. We will now review the presentation portion to illustrate the effect of ticket unassignments on payments. An EN shall be eligible for payment only for work milestones and outcomes achieved by ticket holders beginning the month following the month of the ticket is unassigned to the EN. The EN shall send requests for either milestone or outcome payments. Such evidence may include evidence provided by the ticket holder, such as an original unaltered copy of the ticket holder's pay slip or a monthly breakdown of earnings provided by the ticket holder's employer or a statement of monthly earnings from the employer or the employer's designated payroll official. If SSA has earnings information for a ticket holder that justifies payments to an EN at its discretion, SSA may initiate the payment in the absence of a payment request, provided the EN has met other requirements for payment. An EN may track the status of payments requested through the ticket portal. The ticket portal will show real-time status of the requests from the date received by SSA through payment disbursement to the EN. ENs must submit documentation of services when requesting payment for tickets unassigned by beneficiaries. While an EN may unassign a ticket at any time for ongoing support or the availability of ongoing support is a requirement for continued payment, the EN will not be eligible for future payments, including split payments, for subsequent work or earnings achieved by the ticket holder, beginning with the month prior to the month of ticket on assignment. While a ticket holder may unassign a ticket at any time, the ENs of record at the time of unassignment may still benefit from its contribution to the ticket holder's work achievements. SSA may continue to compensate the EN the full payment due for claim months in which the ticket holders qualify, up to 12 months within an 18-month period beginning with the unassignment month. Subject to SSA's evaluation of the EN's contribution, unless the ticket holder reassigns the ticket prior to completion of the 12-month claim month period. If the ticket holder should reassign the ticket to another EN during the 12-month period within the 18 months after unassignment, the former ENs may request split payments. Ticket unassignment by SSA. SSA system may mistakenly unassign a ticket. Erroneous unassignment should not affect the EN's payments. SSA will provide resolution in such instances. Ticket unassignment by EN. No payments are available to the EN after EN unassigns tickets. Last claim month available is the month prior to the ticket assignment. CPM will perform an outreach to ENs to provide verification concerning the services ENs provide to ticket holders. Documentation of services will be requested for the following: when an EN submits a payment request for tickets unassigned by a beneficiary, and when annual audits are performed. While a ticket holder may unassign a ticket from an EN at any time, when the ticket holder's ticket is in use with an SVRA, Social Security encourages the ticket holder to follow SVRA regulations regarding a successful closure. If an EN refers a ticket holder to an SVRA without an agreement with the SVRA, the EN shall arrange for the beneficiary to make the ticket available to the SVRA temporarily by unassigning the ticket. SSA may withhold Phase 1 milestone payments to the EN or implement improper payment procedures if an EN disregards this protocol. Failure to comply with these provisions may result in sanctions against the EN, including possible unassignment of the ticket should the SVRA accept the ticket holder for services. The next portion of the presentation will provide information about split payments. If multiple ENs or an SVRA functioning as an EN serve the same ticket holder due to change in ticket assignment, upon request, an EN that previously had ticket assignment may be entitled to a portion of any future ticket payments available to the EN based on ticket assignment and unassignment rules. This is called a split payment. To be considered for a split payment, the former EN must have requested and or received at least one payment during the 12-month period prior to the assignment of the ticket to the new EN. CPM will base its decision on information provided by the EN through submission of a completed form, or the SSA 1401 EN split payment request form. This form is available from the CPM and may be used to document a written agreement previously prepared by the involved ENs. TPM will issue the split payment allocation determination letter to notify ENs of the number of payments available after the EN cost determination is made. ENs not satisfied with the TPM split payment determination may appeal the decision to SSA. The next portion of our presentation will review the rules to apply to EN payments when an EN's contract is terminated, and that is convenience versus cause. EN shall be eligible for a payment, work milestones, and outcomes achieved by ticket holders for the last full month prior to the month of expiration or termination. ENs terminated for convenience must submit a request with earnings evidence no later than 90 days following the expiration or termination of the TPA. SSA may terminate an EN's TPA due to cause. When an EN's TPA is terminated for cause, the EN may receive payments through the last full month prior to the month payments were suspended or the TPA was terminated, whichever is earliest. Submitted manually or accompanied by evidence of work and earnings, and submit payment requests with earnings evidence no later than 30 days following the TPA termination. The portal automates many operational functions you do throughout the day. Some additional automated features that the portal offers includes checking the ticket assignability, assigning or unassigning tickets, and uploading form. TPM provide website resources for providers. ENs can visit the information section of the website to obtain additional information, resource documents, and training materials on a wide variety of topics. The Information Center also includes a list of upcoming events, including conference calls that service providers can attend. The training section within the Information Center includes PowerPoint presentation from past Ticket Training Tuesday calls. To access the Ticket to Work website, please go to yourtickettowork.com. The preferred method of tracking the status of submitted payment requests is to use the ticket portal and take advantage of real-time updates. However, if an EN is unable to use the ticket portal for any reason, it also has the option to send manual payment status inquiries to the EN Payments Help Desk. You can reach the Payments Help Desk at EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.com. Or you can call the toll-free number listed on your screen. The Ticket Operation Helpline is available Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Both the Payment Help Desk and the System Support Desk are accessible by choosing option 2 and 3, respectively. The Payment Help Desk is available to answer all your questions regarding payments policy or status under the ticket program, while the System Support Desk has representatives available to assist you with any technological issues you encounter using the ticket portal, questions about ticket assignments, or TPR questions. This will complete the presentation portion of our call and would like to start our question and answer session. Deborah, do we have any questions presented during the chat room feature at this time?
Yes, we do. I was busy typing away, so I was just now answering a question for Sarah. She wanted to know about the 18-month look back. Does the 18-month look back start at the first ticket assignment, regardless of the first assignment being with an EN or VR, or is there a difference depending on the type of organization? And the answer to that is the 18-month look back starts with the first ticket assignment to an EN or a VREN. If the ticket holder receives services from the VR under the cost reimbursement method, that time is not included. Mary Lynn LaVoie asked the question, it is my understanding that if the EN submits a manual request of payment through the portal and faxes evidence of earnings, and if denied, the only way an EN can resubmit for the same claim month, then the EN cannot use the portal again. I'm not sure what you're asking, because the first thing you asked is, or stated is, the EN submitting a manual request of payment through the portal. It's not considered a manual request if you submit a request through the portal. You can submit a payment request through the portal. It can be denied. And for whatever reasons, you may have additional evidence, you can resubmit that payment request through the portal again. It's a new claim. Someone said, can you explain ePay? It is not well explained in the training resources. ePay is Social Security initiated payment process, Social Security performs a selection of SSNs based on certain criteria that beneficiaries have to be active, no terminated tickets, and there's some other criteria there. If SSA has earnings, it looks like it may be earnings that would satisfy a claim. Those SSNs are populated on a file, and the payment staff will process or assess each of those SSNs to determine if payments are available, and if they are, they will be paid. Just because an SSN, just like in the portal, it may look like as though there are earnings there, it does not necessarily mean those earnings have been confirmed, and the payment staff still has to go through the full process of making an assessment. Someone asked, can you put slide 21 on the screen? They missed that slide.
I'll be sure to do so.
Okay. Someone asked, ESP Pay will continue and does it update in the portal too? The answer is yes to both. ePay will continue. It's about quarterly that that ePay file is run, and as payments are made by way of ePay, they are posted to the portal. Now, the only thing about that, the portal does not give you any type of note or message stating that it's ePay, but you can kind of determine if it's ePay. If you know you did not request the payment, and we let you know in the announcement that ePay has started and your EM starts to receive pretty good volume of payments, then it's probably based on ePay. That's pretty much it. I do want to say one thing, Sean. On slide number 13, if you could put that up again, bring that up again. Okay. Now, on slide number 13, if we look at the first bullet and reading it again, if EN has earnings information for a ticket holder that justifies payment to an EN at its discretion, SSA may initiate the payment in the absence of, it shouldn't say a payment request. I'm not sure if this one was for a payment request here or was it meant in absence of earnings information. John, could you clarify, are you talking about retro payments or something else here, just for clarification?
Just for clarification, it was in the absence of the payment request for retro payments provided to the EN.
Okay.
Afterwards.
Okay, just wanted to be clear here, and that's exactly correct. You may not make a payment request but for a particular claim month. However, when we're making an assessment of your payment request for your particular claim month, we may assess that there are other available payments that can be made, and we will make those, even though you didn't request those payments. A number of people has asked, how can I get a copy of the TPA? As Sean mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, this was mailed out, the TPA was mailed out in a gov delivery message of July 3rd. However, if you did not receive a copy, you can you can send an inquiry to the EN service at ssa.gov and request a copy of the TPA. Is Katie on the line?
I'm here, Deborah.
Okay, we have a question that says, what does it mean when you submit a payment request in the portal and you get a message that says at least one half of the beneficiary's earnings are accounted for?
That message is most likely coming up for phase one, milestone one, and it's just letting them know that we have enough to let the payment come through the portal, but that does not mean that you are guaranteed that phase one, milestone one.
Okay. This is from Judy Sanderson. Did I understand correctly that if we have a ticket and get rightfully paid for phase one, And then for any reason, the ticket holder goes to the VR and the EN unassigns the ticket, the EN may be expected to pay back the phase one. The answer to that is no. As long as you hold that ticket and there wasn't a prior assignment on that ticket, met all the qualifications for earning status and other requirements, you would not have to pay that back. Okay, Cheryl Lewis asked for the first time ticket assigned.
Deborah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, I'm sorry. We'd like to add clarification.
Okay.
If
there is a ticket holder that you are working with and they go to the VR for services and you hold on to that ticket, the VR is entitled to those payments. That part
okay.
is...
Right. Right. She didn't state that, okay, but that's clarification for that issue, yes. Cheryl asked, for first-time ticket assignments who do not have 10 or more tickets assigned, can we, as of September 1st, begin assigning tickets online or are still to fax the ticket assignments in? For new ENs, you still have to fax in your ticket, your IWPs for your first 10 tickets. You're not going to be able to use the portal until you at least submit 10 IWPs. I don't have this information, but maybe someone else does. Mary Lynn Vervoir asked, can you provide the number to the queue to ask a question through the phone line? If somebody could put that up.
Yes, please. If you'd like to ask a question on the phones, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. Also, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's *1 to ask a question over the phones. And we have quite a few lining up in the queue right now. Would you like to move to any of those phone questions now?
Yes.
Okay, great. We'll go to Mary Glanton.
Hi. I just have a question. When is, or if there's any updates on timely progress? Hello?
Yes. Can someone from Social Security answer that? The question was, are there any updates on timely progress reviews?
Deborah, beneficiaries are asking about that.
I'm sorry. What was the response?
Mary Lynn, what else did you say?
I have had...
Sorry. This is Katie. I can just give you the answer. There is still a moratorium on TPRs.
Okay.
Okay, so
okay,
we should just
Katie.
Tell our beneficiaries that they don't need to worry about it for now?
Well, they need to continue to make the expected progress because when we do start TPRs, they will... most likely get selected
Look
for
back.
The TPR. So the requirement has not stopped existing, but we're not making selections
right.
at this time. Does that help?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll go next to Sabrina Stamps.
Good afternoon, everyone. My question is regarding the expedited reinstatement of payments to beneficiaries. We had a situation where we had a beneficiary that was making well over SGA, and unfortunately he was involved in an accident, and he had to go out for about 8 weeks. And he went back to the Social Security office to try to file expedited reinstatement, and he was given a very hard time. And I would say that's probably one of the benefits for a lot of beneficiaries to know that in the event that their whatever their disorder or whatever their sickness or whatever it is that they have, disability, that if they need to return to benefits, that they have that option available to them. And that's one of the things that when we sign on these beneficiaries, they're excited about or really concerned that if they need to go back on benefits, that that is available to them. My concern is when we have situations such as this and the beneficiaries are given a very hard time, it does not reflect positively not only on us as an EN, but on the actual Ticket to Work program. So if someone could explain to me what would be the cause of that happening in terms of a beneficiary being given a hard time in terms of expedited reinstatement. Thank you.
This is Deborah, Tennessee. You know, this call is basically about payments and the expedited reinstatement claims are worked by an operations group at Social Security. So, you know, those of us on this call wouldn't have an answer to that question. I'm not sure what the field office or whoever it is who worked those claims with their process is, but I do know that Social Security does approve a huge number of what we call EXR claims, expedited reinstatement claims. So I don't know what happened with that particular beneficiary, but we don't do any adjudication of those types of claims. So, you know, we're not able to answer that right now. But if anybody from SSA, is there someone that they could submit that inquiry to that you know of?
Sure, Deb. Yes, we'll do that.
Thank you, Laura.
We'll go next to John Shepherd. John, your line is open. If you are there, you may have us muted.
No, I'm on the line.
There you
this
go,
is
sir.
John Shepherd. I have a client that has been terminated unassigned to my caseload, but I started working with him shortly after the termination. We had some issues over him reporting for some of the job referrals we gave him. And what I want to find out is how I can reinstate that client since I've been working with him and also getting paid for working with him. Can I reinstate this client to my caseload? I think the answer is yes, but I don't know what date.
Could you ask that again about the reinstatement? What happened with that? I didn't get the whole question.
Okay. Question is this. I had a client that I unassigned to my caseload and then started working with him again because he decided he would start going out for interviews. He found a job, and I started getting paid for him by submitting payment requests.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now I want to find out how I can reinstate him back to my caseload and into the portal.
You know, the to have a ticket assignment with a beneficiary is an agreement between you as an E and a beneficiary. So if that beneficiary wants to assign his ticket with you or she wants to assign their ticket back to you again, that can happen.
Okay. What date would I use since I've been getting paid manually?
You've been paid manually because in the past, who unassigned the ticket? Was it you or the benefit ticket holder?
I unassigned the ticket.
Okay. Okay. Prior to the new TPA, you are eligible to get those payments after the ticket unassigned. However, in the future, you would not be able to get future payments if you unassign a ticket. However, as far as when the date of your new IWP, that depends on when you and the ticket holder signs the new IWP. That would be the effective date.
Okay. Understand. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's star one to signal. Next to Mary Lynn Revoir.
Well, thank you. I wanted to clarify the question I put in the chat for Deborah. Currently, if you go into the portal and you are there's not evidence on your system and the EN chooses to fax in evidence, if the claim is denied, for the EN to resubmit for that same claim month, right now you can only do that through a manual request using paper form. With the changes on September 1st, did I understand that maybe the EN is going to be able to use the portal to make that second attempt?
You're saying that if you get a denial because you don't have earnings in the system, okay? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
You got a denial because SSA didn't have earnings on the system. But you obtain evidence of earnings and you attempt to resubmit a payment request with evidence through the portal. The portal won't allow you to do that. Is that what you're saying?
It'll let you do it once, but if that gets denied, like let's say, you know, there was the fax came through fuzzy or something. If you want to go back to the portal and do it again, it's telling you you must submit it by a manual request payment form, not the portal.
Katie, can you answer that? Because I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, Deborah, that's correct. The case was denied because the saying that the EN did not submit the required documentation. So the assumption made there is that we got the payment request, we reached out to the EN and diaried the case, letting them know that they had to, you know, 10 business days to send in the required documentation. And if that 10 days lapsed and the EN did not provide the required documentation, the EN does not get another chance to use the portal because of the fact that we gave them 10 days and the 10 days elapsed. So you will have to do it manually. It is a little bit of a disincentive to let something like that lapse, that you need to stay on top of cases that require EN attention.
So, Mary Lynn, that would be one of those unusual situations that was mentioned in the in the presentation, that there are unusual circumstances where EN may submit a payment request if the EN has not been terminated, but there are situations where the portal won't allow you to submit a request, and that's one of them, I guess.
Okay. And then I have a second one, and then I'll stop. But this has to do when the EN gets the message that says that the benefits are in suspense due to some other reason than earnings.
Uh-huh.
So my question is, we've had a few of these claim months that have had that reason, again, in suspense due to some other reason than earnings, and this has been going on just approaching a year. How long should an EN expect to wait for that type of situation to be resolved? Like, when would there be a decision made? Is it common it could take over a year?
That's the issue that we can't answer because it all depends on that other reason. Sometimes I've seen cases of suspense or non-pay because the beneficiary failed to submit certain types of documentation to Social Security. There are a large number of reasons, a long list of reasons for a beneficiary to be in suspense or non-pay status. So it all depends on the reason, whether the beneficiary has responded to requests from Social Security. So I can't give you a time frame for that. It all depends on what the reason was.
Okay. And so if an EN knew they were working during that time, is there anything the EN could do? I mean, there's probably nothing they can do, right?
No, I don't think it is because it's very specific even in the regs. For the requirements for payment. The beneficiary has to be in one of two work or pay statuses, either current pay or non-pay due to work or earnings, one of those two.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We'll go next to William Dimple.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hello.
I'm calling to find out, yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? All right.
Yes, we can hear you.
If a beneficiary has been terminated, their monthly benefits have been terminated because they've been proven to be self-sufficient financially, at what point or is there a point when their health benefits are discontinued also. In other words, whether they're, irrespective of whether they're being receiving benefits at the job, in other words, the job has the option, I guess, of either providing benefits or not providing benefits, although with the rules and regulations nowadays, it's usually that they're required to. But if the Medicaid benefits, are they still entitled to that? Whether the, in other words, does that trump the benefits that they could receive from the employer? Which comes first?
That's not a question I can answer for you. It's not a payment-related question. However, we will take your question and we'll submit it to SSA. What's your EN? What's the name of your EN? Hello?
Sorry?
What's the name of your EN?
Staten Island Employment Education Consortium.
Employment Education
Consortium. And I mean, it seemed as though I jumbled the question a little bit. In other words, there's a medical benefits. I mean, it was my understanding that the medical benefits continue after, irrespective of the person being deigned or being acknowledged as being self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. In other words, they have received the benefits, but the benefits have been discontinued because they are financially on their feet again. But I was in the impression always that the medical benefits would continue.
Okay, we'll submit that question to SSA and get back with you with the response.
All right,
okay.
I have one other quick question.
Oh, excuse me for a second, though. What's your name again so we make sure it gets
William
to you?
William Dimple, D-I-M-P-E-L. William
First
Dimple.
Name, William?
Yes.
Okay.
Second question, quite simply, is I do have a quick second question here. Are there any restrictions against an EN from moving their facility because it's based upon economic needs and whatnot into a residential zone? In other words, do they have to be located within a business zone?
As far as I know, there aren't, but there are certain requirements for EN. And this, you need to go to the TPA and look at those requirements for a place of business for EN, especially their issues, security issues, wherever you're setting up business. So that information is contained in the TPA as far as what the requirements are.
All right. And TPA, I'm sorry for sounding obtuse, but what the hell is the TPA?
TPA, that's what we've been talking about this whole call. It's called the Ticket Program Agreement, and it replaces the Blanket Program, Blanket Purchase Agreement. And again, a reminder to all on the phone, all ENs who want to continue as ENs must sign and return page 4 of that TPA to SSA by September 1st. And if you don't, you will no longer be an EN. If you do not or did not receive a copy of the TPA, there was a gov delivery message sent out on July 3rd, and attached to that message was the TPA itself. Now, I know that was around holiday time, but, you know, if you have any outstanding messages in your inbox, go back and check. If you don't have that, have that email, you can send an inquiry to enservice@ssa.gov.
Thank you. I didn't receive it. Okay.
Again, that's star 1 to signal. Next to Kenesha Humphrey.
You know what? Our question actually has been answered.
Okay, thank you. If you would like to remove yourself from the queue at any time, you can press star 2 on your phone. But again, star 1 to signal with question or comment. Next to Al Logu.
Yes. I want to refer back to the expedited reinstatement. And the question, the reply there was not satisfactory. In fact, if I have to test Social Security, the field office people are make it very difficult. I had a client who I got a federal contract paying $13 an hour. For 9 months, he made ACA. And he worked 10, 11 months, and he was going through a divorce. He had cognitive limitations, depression, bipolar, everything, and he lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, go back to Social Security and ask for the reinstatement. And they have given him a very difficult time. The lady, sometimes they're known to be somewhat arrogant and forget why they have a job there, told her, I have decided that you make too much money and that you no longer have to receive benefits. And they cut him off.
Okay.
Now, this is really horrific, you know. Apart from the, you know, I had another case and people just give up. But I'd like to be able to communicate this one to send somebody for some action. And the reply is that it's not my job. It's very it's very bad, you know. And I have a great disdain, believe it or not, for these kind of people. There are a few, and counted on hand, who are very professional. But I think if you census the group here, you'll find these horror stories.
Okay, but that's with Al who's speaking now?
That's correct.
What state are you in, Al?
I'm Texas.
Texas? We're going to, this is the second complaint on this call about the attitude or the responses of field offices to beneficiaries who are submitting claims for or EXR claims. We will submit this complaint up the line, okay?
Well, I need somebody to call me so I can give them the name of the person, Social Security. But I, you know, this guy is in desperate need of medication, and they're giving them, I'm just, anyway, these complaints are valid.
Okay.
It's just nobody stands up to say anything.
Okay.
And I'm standing up.
Okay, thank you.
We'll go next to Sherry McDonald.
Hi, I am just trying to clarify. Somebody had said earlier about being denied for a ticket. And I was denied. I had a ticket that was denied. We're a fairly new EN. And I didn't even know it was denied until I went back to the portal to look and then had an hour-long conversation with the individual through the helpline, try to work through it, and she said, oh, you need to send in some more things, and so I did, and I'm still not really sure why it's not working, and I don't know exactly who my specific ENST specialist is because it's switched like 3 or 4 times since we've begun this process. Do you have any suggestions for me?
You could send an email to the EN service, to enservices@ssa.gov.
Just EN services?
enservice@ssa.gov.
Okay, and then somehow they will help me again?
Oh, yeah. And was this the issue with the payment denial? Did you send an inquiry or either call the payments help desk?
Yeah, so I had – I've only done one ticket because I was just trying to get through the process. And I submitted the information. Of course, no one tells you – it's weird that you can't access the portal to do a payment if you're using Google. You have to do it through a different – internet engine, search engine. So I had to figure that part out. But then the ticket, you know, I sent in record of, or the, you know, the payment request paperwork through the portal. So I think I faxed it. And I faxed also, you know, pay stubs to show, you know, proof of earnings. And then, you know, a while later, I went to look at the portal to see what's going on with the payment. I gave it some time, like a month and a half, because I thought it took a little while, and nothing, you know, is denied, and I didn't understand why. And then when I called somebody, they said, oh, you were asking for, you know, phase one milestone, which wasn't the case. I didn't actually ask for any specific type of milestone or payment or outcome. I just asked for a general payment because I was under the impression that We only received phase two for, because we were doing it through, you know, we had a, we have a partnership plus agreement with the Provoke Rehab Group. And so, you know, it's just a little bit confusing, I guess. I would love to know who my EN specialist is so I can sort of connect again and re-engage this process.
Yeah, those of you who do not know your ENST specialist, a Social Security ENST specialist, can send an email to enservices@ssa.gov to get that information. But back to your issue, I know why you've gotten denials for phase one, because even if you might only have been eligible for phase two. However, if at any point phase one milestones are not available, meaning not eligible, we will create payment denials for those. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. At some point after the 12th outcome is paid, any phase one or phase two milestones you may have been eligible for but you did not receive because the beneficiary went into suspense due to worker earnings, the outcome period, when the outcome period occurs, you cannot get any more milestone payments. So after the 12th outcome, any phase one milestones or any phase two milestones that you did not get paid for that were available, you're going to get a lump sum payment for those after outcome number 12. However, remember I used the term available. Any phase ones that are not available due to look-back earnings, which is probably the case that you had, or due to successful closures from VR services, those payments are off the table. So we have to deny those cases to put a code in the system to not include those payments in your lump sum payment. And if we didn't do that, there would be so many ENs that are overpaid that would have to, you know, pay that money back, because the system actually calculates how much money is owed to you based on how many payments you did not receive, how many phase one and phase two. But by having that denial code in the system, it lets the system know not to include those monies in your reconciliation payment. Now, the situation is that phase two milestones should really have been addressed. And if you weren't getting answers for that, yes, you can call your ENST specialist if you want to. But I just recommend that you send an inquiry into or call the payment help desk and just let them know that your phase two milestone had not been addressed. And you had inquired about it, you were given it, you know, just give the same information you just gave. Okay. Because someone needs to go a little bit deeper into checking the status of the phase two.
All right, well, sounds good. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go next to San Quinetta Dover. Mr. and Mrs. Stover, your line is open. If you would, please check your mute button. Or try picking up your handset. We're not hearing your question. Again, caller San Quinetta Dover, your line is open for your question. If you would, please try picking up your handset or pressing your mute button. We're not able to hear you.
Yes.
There you go. We can hear you now. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. We have submitted the paperwork for the TPA, and I just wanted to find out how we can get a confirmation that it's been received and that we are compliant. So,
I just saw your question in the chat, and I was going to refer that up to Social Security for response.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Thank you. All right. I just want to make sure that it has been received and that we are compliant and we get some kind of, you know, documentation for the file.
Hi, this is Renee.
Thank
Can you.
You
please send an email to EN Service and ask for an email back confirming receipt? Can you hear me?
EN Service.
At ssa.gov, that's the email address that you sent the TPA.
Okay.
If you can send an email asking to confirm
receipt. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Again, that's *1 to signal. Next to Teresa Nyer.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. How's everybody? I have a question on the unassigned and terminated clients with the 90 days that we have to submit a payment request or the 18 months. When does that go into effect? Is that now or does that start in September?
Okay, we have a couple issues here. Let's talk about unassigned tickets first. Because terminated,
okay.
We're talking about terminated ENs, but we're talking about unassigned tickets. The unassigned
yes.
tickets, right now, what has been done in the past, we have been paying ENs if the ticket was unassigned all the way up to the point where the ticket might have been reassigned to a new EN and it might have been a possible split payment. However, according to the reg, we shouldn't have been doing that. That serviceable or those payments are only available if the ticket holder unassigns the ticket. So what the TPA states is beginning September 1st, for those beneficiaries who unassign those tickets, there's a certain period of time where an EN would be would have a time frame where an EN could submit payment requests for payments where the ticket holder unassigned those tickets. However, the number of payments that an EN would be eligible for it would be up to 12 payments maximum. And I'm saying up to, that does not mean that every EN would receive 12 payments after a beneficiary unassigns a ticket. When that happens, if the beneficiary unassigns a ticket and the EN submits a payment request, the first thing that's going to happen at Maximus, we're going to check to see who unassigned the ticket. If the EN unassigned the ticket, there are no future payments for that EN. If the beneficiary unassigned the ticket, then we will request the EN to submit evidence of services that were provided to the beneficiary. There will be an assessment made of those services, and it could be 12 payments that could be the maximum number that an EN would be eligible to receive, or it could be less, depending on those services. The other part of that is whatever that number is, that is determined that an EN is eligible to receive, they have to be within an 18-month period. Total, after 18 months after that unassignment date, the EN cannot receive any more payments. So that's the policy for on a ticket unassignment. The other one was the EN is terminated. And there are two situations where EN can be terminated. One is for cause and one is for convenience. You might let your maybe say decide not to sign this TPA. That's convenience. Cause if there was some reason why SSA did terminate your contract. So there are two different time frames where EN would be eligible to continue to submit payment requests up to the claim month prior to the termination. So if you as an EN, your contract was terminated this month in June, you could submit claims all the way up, if it was terminated in July, you could submit claims for your ticket holders all the way up to June. If you were terminated for convenience, you have 90 days after that contract termination to submit those requests. If you were terminated for cause, you could have 30 days, or you may not have any days. It all depends on the reason your contract was terminated. So that's the difference there.
Okay. Let me make sure I get this correct. It doesn't matter if a client is if the client disassigns their ticket, that's when we can bill up to additional 12 payments on the client or the ticket holder. But if we disassign them, there is no future payments?
Yeah, let me say, for the first question, it's up to 12. It may not be 12, okay? That's
right, exactly.
Right, uh-huh. But if the EN unassigns the ticket, there will be no future payments.
And this goes into effect now or September?
If we can determine it now, we have to gather data on that. But if we find out that is happening now, it's happened on some of the requests that you have submitted, it can go into effect now because of the fact, the regs.
It's not the regs only cover ticket assignments, unassignments by the ticket holder, not by the EN.
Okay. One more question, and I know I'm taking up some time, is, okay, what about the payments that we have submitted and gotten in the past? Will they at some point be reviewed? And if they don't meet the standards, will an EN be required to pay those payments back?
No. No, you will not. If we happen to get, let's say right now you've gotten 11 payments, 11 outcomes, okay? And we find, we get another request from you because this is new. It's new. It's within a certain period of time. So let's not say 11. Let's say we've gotten 5 payments from you or whatever the number was. If the ticket, if the EN's unassigned tickets, we're not going to charge you for overpayments there. I mean, this is something that we've paid in the past. We're not going to do it anymore. So we're not going to charge you overpayments for what happened in the past. But we will make an assessment on the number of future payments you can get if the ticket holder unassigned your ticket.
Okay. Is there a limit to when a client's ticket is terminated? Is there a time limit that we have to submit payments to the prior termed month? Like if a client got termed in July, how long do we have to submit payments through June? Is there a
you have up to 90
deadline?
Days. It's a book of, yeah. Well, that's, you said if the ticket holder is terminated.
If the ticket holder is terminated.
Okay.
From the ticket program.
Okay, I believe that is 30 days. I'm going to have to check that, but I think you have 30 days on that. I have to look that up, Teresa.
Okay. Thank you. Makes total sense now. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple questions remaining in queue currently. Again, star one. Next is Sheila Stockel.
Good afternoon, everyone. Great call today. A lot of information. I just have a comment and then a question. For those individuals having issues with the Social Security claim reps, I have had very good luck speaking with the manager, or even the AWIC in your region is a great resource to get those issues solved. As far as my question, I run a lot of names every month. I am with a workforce EN in Iowa, and I get a lot of responses back from the portal saying the ticket is unavailable or the ticket has been terminated. And these are all people who are between 18 and 64. They have, they're getting their cash benefit. So I'm not quite sure the way a ticket can be terminated or unavailable unless somebody is working above substantial. Can you shed any light on that for me?
Well, I can tell you something that I've seen recently. The same thing happened. A ticket was terminated. EN had two ticket holders, and on both of them was requesting how could they get paid. The ticket was terminated, and so they couldn't submit requests through the portal. And even when they submitted the request manually, they were denied. And I think they were denied. They were submitted manually. And the same situation happened. The beneficiary was in current pay. However, in this situation, both beneficiaries elected to take early retirement. They were no longer under the Disability Trust Fund. One of the rules of being, to participate in Ticket to Work, you're considered a disabled beneficiary. Well, now they're retirement beneficiaries, so there would be no more payments available on that ticket. That's why the ticket is terminated. Tickets can be terminated for a number of other reasons, which I don't know of. The issue that the beneficiary is still in current pay, that's one that I would be most interested in, because if they were not receiving a retirement benefit, then that's something that needs to be researched, because if they're not retirement, then they should be disabled. So those, you can question, but it could be a number of reasons why a beneficiary ticket is terminated.
That's kind of,
and it could be a reason that the full value of the ticket has been paid. It could be a number of reasons.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And next to Clarin Muddyman.
Hi, good afternoon. Are you there?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. So I just have a quick question. I've done Ticket to Work for many years, and I'm pretty familiar with it. But my agency, we were just awarded our TPA, which is excellent, and we're excited. And I'm not asking a question about IWPs, but I know with the IWPs up to the first 10, you have to submit manually, and then you do it through the portal. Is the same? Mm-hmm. Is it the same thing for payment requests?
No, it is not.
So
payment requests
automatic.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, is it automatic through the portal? Because I have suitability from the agency
mm-hmm.
I used to work for, so I can
mm-hmm.
immediately go in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering. Do I submit any initial payment requests manually, or do I directly use the portal right away?
Okay, so payment requests, there is certain, for new ENs, there's certain mandatory training that all new ENs have to go through, and they're in different phases. So I believe you have to take the payments training before you should submit your payment request.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. I was just for my own sanity, because I know my staff's going to ask me.
Yeah, as long as you've completed the training, you can submit your get your clear suitability and all that.
Yep.
You can submit. You don't have the same rules for payment requests that you have for IWPs for submitting transactions through the portal.
Okay, perfect. That's exactly what I was looking for. So just finish that last training, that particular
mm-hmm.
training, and then I can do
mm-hmm.
the payment request. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
We're standing by with no further questions on the phone at this time.
Deborah, do we have any additional questions presented in the chat room?
We have a question from Mary Lynn Revoir. If a beneficiary gets SSDI and is 64 and explores the option to go to retirement benefits, can one assume the retirement benefit would be the same amount as the SSDI monthly cash benefit? Answer to that is no. It's not necessarily the same amount.
Okay, so there are no more questions, Deborah?
Okay. These things are popping up. Somebody, Janine, says, my question is, how can a pay request be made for 12 months after a ticket has been unassigned? It happens every day, Janine. We've been doing it for years. We've been paying to ENs the maximum amount of a ticket, a payment request, may come in every month after a beneficiary has unassigned a ticket, as long as that beneficiary did not reassign their ticket to a new EN in a split payment. That's not going to happen anymore if the EN unassigns the ticket. And if the beneficiary unassigns the ticket, we're going to get some documentation of the services provided so we can determine the number of payments that you could receive after the unassignment. Okay? That's it.
Okay. That's it. All right. As a reminder, the TPM provides an opportunity to all ENs to discuss payment-related topics on quarterly for the all-EN payments call at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The full transcript and audio for the all-EN payments call are available on the Ticket to Work website under the Events and Archives section. We encourage our EN community to take part in the call sessions. The next EN payments call is scheduled on Tuesday, October 31st, 2017 at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This will conclude our presentation for today. Thank you all for listening, your attention, and participation during the call. Please have a great evening, and we look forward to our next presentation on October 31st.
Thank you. This does conclude today's conference. We do thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.